Okay, I have no idea that, like me, you've been sucked into the World Cup 2022 taking place in Qatar and are thoroughly enjoying the football, the upsets, and all the interesting things that are coming out of it. An article in the Le Monde newspaper, the French newspaper, with the headline, Qatar 2022, a World Cup of protests and politics. And it goes on to say this year, LGBTQ rights, human rights in Qatar, and repression in Iran have overshadowed what's happening on the pitch. Sepp Blatter himself, the former FIFA boss, disgraced former FIFA boss, admitted 3 weeks ago that it was a mistake to award the World Cup to Qatar. He said FIFA were aligned on giving it to the USA and they should have stuck to that decision. Professor Simon Chadwick is a researcher, writer, academic consultant, policy advisor and speaker with more than 25 years experience in the global sport industry. His work focuses on the geopolitical economy of sport, and I'm delighted to say he joins us by Zoom now. Good afternoon, Simon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon. It's good to be here.
Sepp Blatter admitted it was the wrong decision. So why did he support the decision at the time to award the World Cup to Qatar?
I don't think it's a case of Blatter either supporting or not supporting Qatar. What he presided over during his term in office at FIFA was an organization that was rife with corruption. And it would appear that there was certainly something untoward with the Qatar bid, but what we now know is there was also something untoward about the Russia bid, about the World Cup in Germany in 2006, in France in 1998. And so I think it was a strange thing for Blatter to say, somewhat disingenuous, because as I say, he was in charge of the ship when the decision was taken. And I think many of the decisions that he himself took internally around the governance of the organization were ultimately responsible for the announcement that was made in 2010.
As you say, it's a strange thing for him to say. What do you suspect prompted that? What made him admit that now?
He's just come out of a legal case in which he was exonerated and so in terms of specific charges around corruption, they've gone away from Blatter for the time being. That's one thing. He possibly felt emboldened by that. I think probably there was an element of, you know, Blatter. I don't think Blatter played the same geopolitical game as Infantino, the current president, does. Blatter, I think, led a much more parochial type organization, and he may well have seen or may well have felt that he was outmuscled by political interests at a time when he was more concerned with other things. So, you know, I think that's part of it. And it seems like a strange thing to say, given the allegations of corruption that swirled around Blatter and around the executive committee of FIFA when he was president. But, you know, these seem like more innocent times almost, because, you know, very often the controversies were around corruption. Now what we have is a World Cup that is shrouded in geopolitical controversy, as your introduction to the package illustrated. But there's more besides. You know, we could probably spend an hour or two talking about the geopolitics of the current tournament. And I think this was Blatter trying to distance himself from the geopolitical complexity by obviously calling out the award to Qatar in 2010.
Simon, you mentioned Infantino a moment ago. Some of the FIFA members have stated they will not support his re-election. Do you think this means that cracks are starting to appear in FIFA and it could lead to a split and the formation of a potentially new governing body of football?
People very often say to me, could you ever imagine yourself being president of FIFA? And I always say to them, absolutely not. This is got to be the most difficult job anywhere in the world, because trying to reconcile the disparate demands of countries, football associations, players, coaches, sponsors, TV companies is just an impossible job for anyone to deal with. And I think inevitably we always see pressures and tensions inside FIFA as a consequence of that. But we're living in a very particular era where there does seem to be this divergence and polarization of the global north and the global south. and the issues that seem especially important to the global north are not necessarily the same kinds of issues that are important to the global south. And what I mean by that, if I could illustrate, is, you know, clearly in Qatar's case, they've seen the World Cup as a way of bringing together, especially the Arab world, the Middle East and North Africa. Whereas seen from the global north, from somewhere like Denmark, they see this much more as incredibly sensitive. It's about LGBTQ plus rights, about migrant workers. And so the World Cup right now is a reflection of I think the schisms and the fractures that we see in daily life anyway. What's going to happen to FIFA? We know that the likes of Denmark, England, possibly Germany are now calling for a breakaway. We've seen over the last year or two breakaways in other sports. And I think such is the current nature of not that just the geopolitical environment, but also the business environment, I think, surrounding football is repeatedly we're going to hear about calls for breakaways. And FIFA is right in the middle of these calls right now.
Well, that's why I mention it. You know, we've seen these breakaways both in rugby and boxing, and I'm wondering whether football's next.
It's entirely possible. It's interesting that FIFA, for the entirety of its existence, has been based in Switzerland. It now appears that FIFA is looking perhaps to move its commercial operations to New York. Now, that will be an organized split, but it will nevertheless be a split. And I think it's an acknowledgement that if you're looking for big money, you don't stay in Europe. You have to go to North America. But I can foresee, you know, potentially FIFA in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, perhaps opening an office in the Gulf region, maybe having premises in East Asia, for example. Who knows? Maybe even in Africa too. But on a more fractious basis, I think we are rapidly heading to the point, and this World Cup is, you know, may well prove to be a tipping point in all of this. That our differences, the differences, particularly between the global north and the global south, are proving to be increasingly irreconcilable. You know, just to give you another example to sit alongside this, we've heard just this week that Russia is contemplating resigning its membership of UEFA and making an application to the Asian Football Confederation to join the AFC. And so, you know, we do live in this incredibly polarized and fractious world, and football increasingly finds itself in on the front line of all of this.
When we take a look at what's happening on the pitch now at this year's World Cup, and there've obviously been some major upsets, I can't not ask you, Simon, who's going to win? And as an Englishman, is there any chance that you guys will bring the trophy home?
I'm an Englishman working in France, married to a Pole of Norwegian and German origin. So I've got a few, I've got a few fingers in a few pies there. I think I'm an old romantic. In this deeply, deeply fractious world in which we live, where most people seem to be arguing with one another, I do have an inner romantic that tells me that I'd really like Brazil to win because it'll remind me of the old times.
And are they in with a chance, do you think, Simon?
I think Brazil are. I would really, really, I say this genuinely as somebody who's spent time in Africa, I really, really genuinely hope. I watched Ghana yesterday. It looked really, really good. Obviously, Senegal, really attractive football. Shame about Sadio Mane, but it would be great to think that at least we get an African side to the semifinals. But wouldn't it be amazing to get an African side into the final, maybe even win it?
It certainly would. That would be really, really incredible. Professor Simon Chadwick, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Researcher, writer, academic, consultant, and sports geopolitical expert.